This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings Zeedee right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of Zeedee Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, Zeedee and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm Zeedee Donahue.
Oh, you know, I didn't ask Sam if our Destiny music showed up audio.
Heard up audio.
If people could hear it. I'm starting it up again because we're diving into these stitches and I can't believe we recorded that whole podcast about straight stitches. After it's going to be six. Is it going to be 6 years? No. It'll be five years.
5 years.
Entering our sixth year of the podcast launched in January of 2016. 21. We're going to finish.
Right. This will be the sixth year we're going
into.
Wow. Because Zelda is six.
Zelda's six.
She was a baby.
Right. She's six and a half, so it's six, right? Yeah.
Well, okay. Whatever.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. She's halfway to a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah. We figured that out the other day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So last time we talked about like straight stitches and selector behaviors and backstitch priority and things like that. And today we're going to talk about when your needle gets to swing to the right and the left when you pick a stitch. So we talked about needle position with straight stitch and moving the needle around within, you know, the swing of the throat plate or the presser foot or whatever. But it got to just stay in one place the whole time. Even if it went two steps forward, one step back, or whatever.
That's right.
It still stayed in the same place. And today we're going to talk about stitches that go side to side. So I guess I might be getting a little ahead of myself here.
Honestly, that's about, I mean, the triple stitch is the only stitch I know that is a straight stitch that's not a chain stitch.
Yeah.
Right? That's stretchable.
Yeah, and I don't even know if I feel like it's that stretchy. I guess it's stretchy. Is it that stretchy?
I guess it doesn't allow itself to pop. Is that what it is?
I guess it's like really strong and it's fine like sideways sort of. I don't know. I'm not a fan of it for the stretchy purpose, but I know that it can be categorized as stretch stitch. We talked about that last time. So, yeah, but I agree with you. The straight stitches, yes, they're meant for wovens, right?
Right.
And we've talked about that before. So when you get into the side-to-side stitches, you get into stitches that can be recommended for stretch. Not all of them, but some of them.
Right. I guess what we're saying is if it's a true stretch stitch on your sewing machine, though, it will probably go side-to-side.
You're right. You're totally right.
It will have movement. You know, it will have north, south, east, west movement.
That's right. You'll be able to stretch fabric theoretically. So why can you stretch? Why can these zigzaggy seams, why can they accommodate stretch? What's the deal? The deal is that their needle points are distributed on the plane in a different fashion than the straight stitch. So it allows for, you know, side to side stretch and up and down stretch.
Right. And the whole idea is that not only does it allow for it, but your stitch won't pop.
That's right.
You won't break a stitch because your fabric has the possibility or the movement of stretching. So more than likely, you want this garment to stretch over your head, over your thigh, over your butt, around your waist, whatever it is. Okay.
Yep.
You're wanting this to stretch and spring back.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. And so therefore, you need this type of stitch because if it was a stable stitch and you went, the fabric would
pop,
to cooperate and pull, but then you would pop that stitch because it doesn't have the ease or the elasticity to go back and forth. Okay.
Yeah, so Zigzags, often we talk about stretch stitches, and then we talked about that stitch selector kind of behavior on more basic machines.
Right.
I'm like picturing the dial on the super basic baby lock, and those straight stitches were in black, and the stretch stitches were in yellow, and there was a little selector, which confusingly enough, it like went from nothing to SS, and SS meant stretch stitch and not straight stitch.
Right, so right. Which is,
it's like, right. Great, you know, not super wonderful, but right. Yeah, SS
you
is
had to, so in that case, there's this thing that comes with your sewing machine.
What's it called? What
it's
is
called
it?
Called an owner's manual.
Oh.
And you can take it out and read it and find out what that means.
That's right, that's right. So, anyway, yeah, you can have those stretch stitches, and that can be, I'll just point out without going into it for 45 minutes, that on some of your more advanced machines, you can have different behaviors for zigzags in regards to back stitches. So once again, you can have it where...
You mean your securing stitch.
Yeah, right. It's a back stitch priority in baby lock land. So you can have it to where it'll go forward a couple zigzags, back a couple zigzags at the beginning, or where it'll just stitch in place and then begin zigzagging.
Right.
And then let's talk about stitch width with zigzaggery. Because this is another place where the machines can act differently. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4 basic zigzags on the Destiny. And the first two have to do with that backstitch priority. And then the second two have...
I should say securing priority.
Well, that's not what they call it.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry. That's right. Not what they call it.
Yeah, but not everybody has a baby.
Well, I'm just saying. Okay. Right. I don't know what they call it for other...
In sewing land.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
Don't know
well, okay, in ZD land, securing...
I think we should...
It's a better...
Can we
you're
make
right.
a game, a board game called Sewing Land?
Yeah, it's fine. Like, you're right. It's
we
a better...
We need to make a board game called
Sewing
Land.
Land. Okay.
Yeah.
So, there are these two other back stitches on the Destiny... Or back... Look what you got me saying. Zigzag stitches on the Destiny. And one of them is called Zigzag Left... And the other one is called zigzag right. And when you change the width of the zigzag left, it grows toward the right. Yeah, yes. Get this.
The needle stays
yes.
in the left position
that's
that
right.
it's in, which is
that's
the center, right. supposedly.
That's right. Well, no, it's not really the center. No. Like, the stitch is centered over the center, but luckily they have a screen where you can see
right.
how the stitch is changing because it's confusing. But it is sort of
test,
anchoring.
Test,
test, test, test, test. It's anchoring the right swing is what
yes,
maybe I would.
There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah. It's
there
anchoring the right swing or it's anchoring
it's
the left swing.
It's only swinging to the left
yep.
or only swinging to the left.
Now,
right.
this could be good because not only can you change the width on this machine, you can change the needle position.
Right.
So if I
correct.
Moved. Yeah, right.
Correct.
Left. If I moved the needle position on a zigzag stitch, what this means is I'm actually like moving the whole stitch in the space. And right now I'm holding my hands parallel, like my mm-hmm. palms are facing each other. And then I'm moving my body side to side.
Right.
Just in case you can't see it at home.
It's really not that great of an illustration, but anyway.
I think it is. So what my hands are supposed to be the stitch.
The width of the stitch.
And it's moving the whole width
right.
of the stitch. It's moving the entire
right.
stitch within my stitch area.
Right.
And on the Destiny, and on a lot of machines, it won't let you go outside the stitch
right.
swing.
There's a governor of safety yeah. that doesn't mm-hmm. let you sew your presser foot or your...
Yeah.
Throat plate.
Unless you have your straight stitch plate in place, but
right.
we can't
but,
be accounting
but
for that.
Some machines
oh, they
will tell you
they will
that
account.
The straight stitch is on.
That's right. Some
yes.
of them will account for that.
Depends on how smart they are and how much you paid for them.
That's right. So that is, once again, another behavior. And this acts, you say not everybody has a baby lock, for sure, because I think that other brands, they don't call that like needle position or left-right shift or whatever, but
right.
there is a function sort of like where you're changing the width of your zigzag, and then there's a function where you're moving the zigzag over and
right.
the width is the same. So your machine may have something like this. And that was kind of where we were talking about how the stitch width knob will change a straight stitch into a zigzag on some
yes.
things or move the straight
or
stitch.
Or only move the straight
that's
stitch
right.
the needle position.
That's right. Okay, so those are zigzags. And once again, we're always letting people know you can change the length and width of your zigzag per your
and
project.
Honestly, you probably almost always will go from the factory setting to something else. I think I seldom use what's on there because usually, isn't it a really tight stitch?
So, yeah. Hold on, what I consider a tight stitch.
That's, I guess, arbitrary, too. Or
it is a little arbitrary. So, width is 3, length is 3. Now, the length is 3.
Right.
But is that the whole cycle of the stitch? Ooh.
Yes, it means each piercing is 3 apart. Is that what you're
saying?
Okay, try it.
Does it mean each piercing is 3 apart, or does it mean that each right
swing
is 3 apart? Hold on, I will.
I don't know. Each stitch.
Okay. I'm sewing.
She's sewing on paper.
I'm sewing out loud.
Yeah, she's sewing out loud.
I am sewing on paper because we've talked about how you can.
Okay, so it is. It's 3 apart, I believe.
Each needle drop is 3 apart.
So.
I'm going to run. Oh, okay. Where's the
rule?
No,
go to a straight stitch, and now straight stitch 3
Ooh.
Apart next to it.
Ooh! Well, that's going to be, I could start at the same.
Well.
You think I'll be able to tell?
I think we'll
know. You think I'll be able to tell?
And maybe it's not. Maybe it's.
So that would mean you know what?
Maybe we're.
Can you tell? Hey,
look.
Yeah.
There's where. Now I'm actually using a pin. Okay, so it's not. It is the distance between
the. So.
Each right needle piercing.
So the definition of a zigzag is not each needle drop. It's when it comes back to its starting.
So each needle drop is 1.5 apart.
That's right. So when ZD says it's tight. She's right, because each needle drop
to me, 1.5 is pretty tight.
Because the factory setting for a straight stitch is 2.5, right? Length. Now, I know it's different between a zigzag and a straight stitch.
It's also different because of the fabric. Now, there's a lot of machines out there, especially the older machines, and I don't even know what old means anymore.
Yeah, sure, right.
Okay, but it means not made today, not made yesterday.
Dude, I've got
whatever.
A really old machine, and then I'm like, oh.
Well, anyway, you will go to the setting, and the zigzag will be almost a satin stitch.
Uh-huh.
It will even sort of note that. It'll have the stitches, it'll show them real close together someplace, whether it's, just like... a little icon on a dial or something or whatever, or next to the stitch or whatever, or the stitch number. But sometimes it's almost, like I said, it's like too close for anything.
Yeah, so your zigzag can do a lot of heavy lifting for you. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I guess the other thing I was going to say, and you were doing it on paper, one of the most stable things in the world. So it's like you would be doing it on a piece
of
stabilizer.
To really test, width. Yeah.
So what I'm saying is it might even be closer if it's not on something that stiff, right? Mm-hmm. So if we take a piece of knit and do that, I don't think it's going to be 3 millimeters apart.
Yeah, this is where when someone's like, what's timing mean? It's sewing machines are so cool. The feed dogs are going to move at a different rate to put the fabric through at a different rate to make a different length stitch. Literally time. Literally... I'm going to take less time to move this fabric and move it a shorter difference, or I'm going to take, more time to move it a longer distance. And your machine sounds different. One time when I was costuming that show in high school, Will Rogers Follies.
The Will Rogers one? Yeah.
I was trying to be ZD and I
stayed up. The one where you stole all my costumes.
Yeah. And I stayed up till 4 in the morning, which that's not Mallory. Mallory does not stay up late. I go to bed maximum at 10. Been like this all my life.
Mallory's been an old lady for a long time.
I have only stayed up all night like twice in my life, and I got extremely ill afterwards. I did. I got like
instead of me, that I stayed up a lot, and then I got ill later in life.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe I'm doing it right.
So somehow it works out.
Yeah, I got extremely ill every time I tried to do that. So where was I going? Oh, my car, my 94 Ford Taurus. It was 2007. when I was driving this,
Mallory was trying to drive a car that was the same age she was.
That's right.
No, what
Well, almost.
Didn't both of your sisters drive that car?
Yeah. It was a really old car.
It went to college three times. Yeah.
So I was trying to drive it, and it wasn't going fast enough. I can't remember. I was really tired, or it wasn't in gear. It wasn't warm because, like, oh, my God, when this thing shifted from, like, I don't know what, second to third, it was like, you know. But I remember it wasn't going fast enough. And in my brain, I'm pulling out of our driveway, and I go, I need to lengthen my stitch. Like, I thought that because when you lengthen your stitch, it goes faster. Like, I literally thought that. It was legitimate thought in my mind that I was in my car and I needed to lengthen my stitch to go faster. Okay. So, just there we go. So, that zigzags, I thought maybe we'd take a break and talk about some of the other, like, overcast, honeycomb stitch. You brought that up last time.
That's what I call the girdle stitch.
There you go, the girdle stitch. I wonder what they call it in here. Do they call it the honeycomb or they call it the girdle?
The spank stitch.
Stay tuned to find out. Hey, ZD. Wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And we're back. I still haven't found the honeycomb girdle stitch. I had to find it. So, well, they call this the honeycomb stitch, but it's not really like, are you talking about like the hexagonal stitch?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I don't know. I need to look at the menu. I'm going to move around. I'm going away from my microphone.
Oh, no. She's going away from the microphone. You thought you heard some ZD whispers before. Wait till she goes 3 feet from
her. This is what I'm talking about.
Right? Oh, okay. So it's really more like a lattice. They call that smocking, but this one they call honeycomb.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's it.
Okay. But see, it's.
That looks like a honeycomb.
I feel like, okay, there must be like a decorative stitch that is a hexagon. You know, like what an actual honeycomb would look like. You know what I'm saying?
Stitch it out and see what it looks like. Because sometimes, you know.
Stitch it out. Okay, so they don't name this stitch in the decorative stitch menu. There is one that they are hexagons. But it's in decorative stitch land. It's not. See?
Yes, but I'm not sure that. But see, I'm not sure that's a true that would stretch.
Yeah. No, you're right. It might not. You're totally right. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about.
So it looks like a lattice or a honeycomb.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about going side to side. It's not just for stretchy stuff, right? It can also be for overcasting, mm-hmm. for finishing an edge. Mm-hmm. And so that is kind of, oh, well, after the zigzag, there's a two-step and a three-step zigzag.
There's that too,
On the right. Destiny. But then we do get into overcasting stitch number one, overcasting stitch number two, overcasting stitch number three, overcasting stitch number four. We have more overcasting stitches.
So overcasting stitches can be...
There's a lot of them.
...used as a stretch stitch, right? Mm-hmm. And you overcast just the edge of your garment as your or the edge of your fabric on your garments. Or it can also be used just to finish, you know, a single layer of fabric on the edge. Hence, overcast. So you're going around the side. So we might use this on... A woven fabric that would fray, right?
Yeah. Okay. No, it can. It right. Right.
Exactly. On our stretch stitch, when we're using stretch fabric or want a stretch stitch and a mm-hmm. stretchable stitch, let's say, we're going over the edge of our fabric, not to keep it from fraying, but to keep it nice and neat and together.
Uh-huh.
Okay. To keep that, you know, one enclosed seam, so you don't have like, you know. These two little pieces of fabric flying around. Or sometimes what will happen is after you launder it or you know, dry clean it or whatever, a knit will roll.
Yeah.
And then it gives you that bulk in the seam and you don't want that.
After you
right.
speed clean it.
The other thing you use this for, and this is how you make a girdle, everyone. So we used to have girdle fabric, right? Mm-hmm. It was the one fabric that in...
Well, now people are, you know, it's come up a bunch for binders.
Well,
you
right,
know,
and like, all it is super, super power mesh.
Super power mesh.
Okay, but it was the only fabric at the time that had rubber in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So in the 60s, the 50s and 60s, when people were trying to make their own compression garments or their own girdles, we called them, and we didn't call them Spanx or what else are they called?
Oh, well, you know, whatever.
We called them panty girdle. So there was a girdle and there was a panty girdle.
The word girdle.
And a panty girdle.
Yeah, is kind of.
Girdle means to go around.
But it's like, kind of funny. It's a funny word, isn't it? Gird, girdle, girth.
I don't know.
Girdle.
You might think.
Like some people don't like the word moist. And I'm saying girdle, I think, kind of creeps me out a little bit.
That's okay. So a girdle, like the, was literally, it just went around you.
Yeah.
There was no crotch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which was good because then
you could pee.
You could actually like pee out, pull your panties down or pee or whatever through there. But then there was a thing called a panty girdle.
Yeah.
Okay. And it actually had legs and it was more like a Spanx type garment. Okay.
Right.
And, you know, all Spanx were supposedly cut off pantyhose. I have a whole story about pantyhose.
Don't whisper.
I have a whole story about pantyhose, too. My first pair of nylon stockings were pantyhose, and I was so upset because I didn't have a girdle. And everybody else in my class had a girdle and, you know, a stocking for each leg. And I had these stupid panty girdle things.
Oh.
My mother was always before her time.
So she was, I see.
She was always before her time, which, when you're a teenager, that's not always what you want your mother to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had a Sassoon haircut that she gave me that one went over the ear on one side and a big swing on the other. Nobody else had one, just me.
So, look. Are you okay?
Yeah. But, okay, so a girdle, how we made girdles in those days, right?
Yeah.
Is we had this power mesh fabric or girdle fabric or what. I do think it had a name and I can't remember now. We laid... One piece of fabric. Okay.
Yeah, right. You lapped them over.
We lapped them over, right?
Right.
So there was two ways you could make this seam. So you had the right sides of both fabrics face up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could lap them over and you could, you would be stitching then through two mm-hmm. layers, right? And what you want, you could then... You could trim up to then the edge.
Right.
Okay. And you would trim up to the edge on both sides. And basically, or you could Do the same thing, lay it with both sides up, and you would just burnish that edge, just overcast that edge. And we would use this honeycomb or lattice, whatever we were going to call it, stitch. And that's what we would use because it was like these multi-stitches because these suckers were tight, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Okay? They were tight. And people wore them who were rail thin. Like, it was all about modesty in some way. Like, you weren't supposed to leave the house without your girdle.
Yeah.
So think about that, guys. Anyway, it was really a weird thing. You know, it wasn't... I guess it was about smoothing out because you couldn't then see the real shape of the woman.
I guess.
You know, like you couldn't see your butt crack.
What is
right?
it about?
Yeah. That's what the, or your navel or whatever. Like, no, you could not
you
see anything.
Smoothing.
You just smoothed everything out. So it did, like I said, didn't matter like what size you were, if you had a roll or a bump or if you were thin. Right. You wore this.
Yeah. So that is. When your needle swings side to side, you can get stretch. You can get stretch in lots of different ways. Let's talk about overcasting stitches. Let's go back a little bit because overcasting stitches are often designed, if that's what a sewing machine is calling them, either in your owner's manual or on the screen, they are designed to work with an overcast foot.
Exactly.
And this was like the second ever Facebook Live video I did in the group, and I did it for Noah. It said it's like overcasting foot for Noah is what it's called.
Is it? Well, because and the because
let's talk about that. Yeah.
Rarely do people know that there's an overcasting foot and it and there's a reason for this overcasting foot in these stitches.
Yeah, so we did that whole podcast a long time ago about seam allowance and how like when you don't sew on enough seam allowance, your stitch isn't supported.
Correct.
Okay, and that's how things can kind of get swallowed up, and or why do we have a bigger seam allowance sometimes and then trim it down? Why don't we just originally do the small one and blah, 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 all that. So with overcasting, if you're trying to get right on the edge of a piece of fabric, you don't get the stability of seam allowance. You're right on the edge of the fabric. And so what an overcasting foot does and has is a little pin or whatever you want to call it. I think pin's kind of
a
good word.
I think pin is a good word. Yeah.
It has
it's
this
like a little pin, a little bitty stylus piece.
Yeah.
You'll see it.
Thin piece of metal.
Right.
That goes into the stitch area.
It actually rides on the edge of your, the edge of your fabric.
Yeah. So yes. you align the edge of your fabric with that pin. And then also in selecting the overcast stitch on your machine, in selecting it on the Destiny or in selecting the dial and then looking at the owner's manual and adjusting to the recommended settings on a super basic machine. So you really need to do that. You know, on a machine without automatic settings. In so doing, you have the stitch positioned and set so that the needle will swing and go right over that pin and not run
right
into it.
Because if it does not, what you will wind up with is not a nice flat stitch. You will wind up with a stitch that's going to curl or pull that fabric under and up because your fabric's not, you know, rigid enough.
Or you wind up with like a broken needle because you moved your stitch or didn't set your stitch
right
and then you
right
hit the pin. Okay, right. So I just wanted to bring that up.
But what I'm saying is that's what I'm saying.
You're saying
though,
if you don't use the foot.
The pin is there, right. You could use your normal foot, right, with this.
Yeah.
And then you get a little rolled seam allowance.
You'll
and
get
you
tunneling, right?
Right,
tunneling.
You don't want that. You don't want that. Oh, tunnels and trains. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the tunneling.
Mallory has a son that is train crazy.
Yeah, he's a rail fan.
Oh my gosh.
So you will get tunneling if you don't have this pin over on the edge of your fabric to give you support. It's like, it's a support for while
right
the stitch
it's
is being
to
formed
support the stitch. You have this, okay, on your serger.
Yep.
They have stitch fingers.
Maybe we should call it a stitch finger.
Maybe
huh
it's a finger, but it looks like a pin.
It's a pin, a stitch finger, yeah.
They're a little bit flatter on your
on
sergers
your serger, for
they
sure
look more
yeah
flat.
Yeah.
They, you know, on the feet, they look more like they stuck a little end of a needle or a
it
little
really,
end of
yeah
a pin in there to do this. So when you, on your serger, when you make a rolled hem, guess what you do?
Take those down.
That stitch finger is removed and there's different ways to remove it. Some people have to change a whole foot or a whole presser, a whole
plate or whatever,
or they just dial it and it flips down. But that's why it rolls.
Yep.
Because the stitch will, you know, roll it over and tunnel it under.
Mm-hmm. So we, you know, okay, we want it to roll then.
Right.
And I want to...
On your sewing machine, it won't roll right.
Yeah.
You can't... A rolled hem on your sewing machine is almost impossible, let me tell you.
Without the foot. Okay, then...
Yeah, there is a rolled foot.
Different story. Right. Okay, different podcast.
Right? Yeah, different podcast. We're not talking about that right now.
Yeah. So what I want to bring up, why doesn't the machine just make a nice stitch on the edge of my fabric? All right. If you have ever watched a stitch being formed either in a video or you've been able to see, like... in a front-loading bobbin situation, how the top thread comes down into the bobbin area and it makes a loop. And then as the needle goes back up, it pulls the stitch tight, okay?
Right.
It makes it interlocks the bobbin thread with the top thread. And so without a bunch of fabric to stabilize that, it could just pull till its heart's content.
Right.
So what it's doing is it's pulling against that pin, against that stitch finger to make the proper stitch. Right. And then when it moves on, it has the correct amount of thread.
Right.
So it's not pulling too tight. So that's why that finger's there. So first of all, if you choose an overcasting stitch, set your settings right, and then get out the corresponding foot. This is a foot that would come with most machines.
Nowadays. If you have a stretch stitch and an overcast stitch, on your machine, you probably have this foot.
Yeah, like most, even I'm talking $99 machines,
even have this
foot. An overcasting foot. Now, not a lot of people end up using them for lots of different reasons.
And why do you think that happened?
Well,
because knits are out.
Yeah,
people are sewing on knits.
People
now
aren't finishing fabrics in that way. You know, and I'll know a lot of people who've got like a $99 sewing machine, and they'll have like a $2,000 serger. You know,
they'll have several hundred dollars worth of feet.
Yeah, that's true too.
Right.
So I'm just saying, you're right. So those overcast stitches, the overcast stitch that you might be most familiar with, that's on most machines, it sort of looks like a zigzag, but it has a straight part. So it'll look like mountains with little valleys in between it, okay? And the points of those zigzags are what's going over the edge of the fabric.
Right.
So you get like kind of point, come back over, straight stitch. Point, mm-hmm. come back over, straight stitch. On the Destiny, we have a few different options, and some of them incorporate even more like shape and movement in order to give you stretch.
Right.
Okay, so they are giving you that, and some of them actually... say they have another S, and in this situation it means something different. It means side cutter, and it says that it's like with side cutter, and that is where your machine has a foot on it that is a blade and it's trying to act like a serger. And some people love them and some people hate them, and we're not super huge fans, but then again, we've got a bunch of sergers, and so that there we are, you know. So there are, I have seen on the more basic machines, that overcast stitch that's, you know, straight stitch, zigzag. And then they'll have one that's like zigzag over and then a couple narrow zigzags.
Yes.
And that would be for stretchy
stuff.
Tiny mountains between the big mountains. Exactly. So that you can use that on a knit. Now, your normal overcast stitch actually might work on in some knit situations.
Yes.
Yeah. You might be surprised. It's got enough movement in the stitch to where you're okay.
Absolutely.
But what are you going to do? What are you going to do to see if it works?
Test.
You're going to
test,
right? Okay. So you're going to test to make sure it works. That's good.
You never got me a shirt that said test.
You know, we've never told people what you actually say before the podcast. What kind of dirty joke would you make?
Has a syllable, the first syllable of a word that is test.
What do you think ZD's dirty mind has done? I'm talking every week for the past 6 years before I record the podcast, and I say, hey, Mom, we need to test. And I say, testing. And what do you think ZD says?
I say, test dot dot.
Instead of testing, we'll see if anybody gets that. See who's listening.
Fred will get it.
Fred will get it.
Fred
all right,
will get it.
Here we go.
Noah will get it. Riley would get it.
Yeah. All of, I'm sure there are more people we're not giving enough credit to.
Who should we give credit to? Yeah. I know.
Well, we don't want to name too many people. We'll forget
then
someone.
Then we'll leave somebody out.
Forget someone. So anyway, when you see a stitch that has some movement in it, it's a candidate for your stretchy stuff. So you can try it out. You might be like, oh, I like this diamond stitch for my hems.
Right.
Like, I don't have a cover stitch machine, or I don't want to use my cover stitch machine right now. The diamond stitch might be good for that.
Right.
Or something else. Give it a shot. You might be surprised. You could use them for decorative things on knits or wovens, obviously.
Right, right.
You know, sometimes the functional stitches look pretty with decorative threads.
And, you know, again, in the olden days, when we just had decorative stitch machines and we weren't, you know, we didn't have our embroidery machines, where, you know, we had the amount of stitches that were in the machine.
Right.
And a lot of them were mechanical, mm-hmm. you know, and they had like what they called cams or whatever. Yeah. And then they started coming up with more, you know, computer circuit boards and things like that. But we used our, you know, functional stitches, our practical stitches as decorative stitches.
That's right. That's right. Do you have anything to say about zigzaggy stitches before we...
Yes, I do.
Okay, before we wrap
up.
Yes,
I do. Very much I do. Well, because this is what people would come to me and say.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They would use a stretch stitch maybe on a woven, and they might make, say, a pair of pants, and a pair of pants has a butt seam.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they would pull it apart and go, look, you can see the stitches. Yes, you can.
You used it.
And you should be able to see the stitches because they have movement and they don't hold it. So you don't want to use a stretch stitch on a woven fabric if you want that to be a very nice, sweet, you know, anastomosed type. I don't know what I want to say, but a, you know, a tight seam, okay, that you basically don't see the stitches in because it's not like that. It's loose. Why? Because it allows for the fabric to have movement.
That's right.
So
that's
don't right. – I've had people Amen. Make a pair of pants on a serger with woven fabric and come
they
in
were
and go,
unhappy.
Look, you can see my seams. And I'm like, that's good. Your serger's functioning properly. Okay.
Good news.
Now what you need to do, does this fit you correctly? Yes. Now what you need to do is go take your standard sewing machine.
And just sew right along
and
there.
And sew right along that stitch line and you'll have the perfect pair of pants.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
That's a really good point. You know, the expected behavior
yeah, I'll
of
even
the stitch.
Do that on a skirt seam. Like, you know, if the skirt's tight around your waist or your hips or your upper hip.
Sure, sure. No, that's a really good point.
Whatever.
And then there's some times where like, oh, I'm cool, so... seaming this woven with a serger because it's not going to stretch.
You know, I have a shirt that I wear that is probably 20 years old, right? That, you know, I have all the seams on the outside.
Yeah.
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 And I was just so like, you know.
You were so ahead of the game.
I was so avant-garde at the time.
All right. Well, I think maybe we could just spend some time next week on like buttonholes and decorative stitches. And then
you'll make me go crazy. I'll go wild.
Go crazy. I know we have our 45-minute episode on buttonholes.
Yes.
So we'll refer.
And if someone has not listened to that, and I mean, everyone raves about it who listens to it.
Random people have been like, oh my gosh, this changed my life.
Yes, yes. You know? We have gotten word from around the world. And good words.
I think you can just go to sewhere.com/buttonholes and you'll get it.
It'll come up.
And there's a blog post and everything. Okay, everybody. Well, thanks for listening. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.